Well, good morning. And welcome, Christine, to our assembly that has become short on number, but big on heart. Who knows the virtues of this Sesshin practice that we've taken on? All of the six of us here, Christine, took on the whole 4 days. So we were the ones that said, you know, I can do 4 days. My schedule is open for 4 days. So who knows the virtue of this practice? But it somehow fits. It somehow is fit as, you know, one of the pieces of our Soto Zen practice. I've told the story of one of the early sesshins in Jikoji with Catherine, where at some point after her, or because of a Dharma talk she gave, I think I was having some doubt, like, you know, gee, here we've just got a small group and we're sitting in the middle of the woods in this icy cold Zendo, and what's the use? What are we doing this for? I've had to take off work, you know. I do important work in the world and I'm not doing it. So what? But somehow after a Dharma talk, I was just convinced that sesshin was the most important thing anybody could do. I turned on a dime. I heard, as they say in the koans, I heard some turning words that made me think, this is the most important work that could be done by anybody, this sesshin practice. And it must have been late in the sesshin. I was sort of, and I kind of got a little manic because I could, you know, it's Jikoji is right up at the top of Santa Cruz Mountains. It's actually just inside the Santa Cruz County border. But you can walk out the front door of Jikoji and you're in, I think it's San Mateo County. But when you look, I mean, in the 90s, we still had to look up phone numbers in the telephone book to sort of call them and say, could you tell them that I'm not able to come to sesshin? So you had to look up, and you had to look up a Los Gatos phone number. So it was kind of funny. It was Santa Cruz County across the street from San Mateo County, but it had a Los Gatos phone number. So there we were up in the woods, and I was sort of manic, and you could hear the planes descending into San Jose Airport, and I was thinking, those planes are so lucky. They're feeling all of this energy that we're putting up, like a beam of light. I wonder what they're feeling, because it's powerful. So I would tell myself that. So this tiny little group that's decided to sit here on this drizzly spring day is just sending out inconceivable beams of light, which is like a beacon showing people their Buddha nature. It's not our light, it's Buddha nature light. It's the body of Buddha that that is being sent out. Maybe people should tell their own Sesshin stories, but I want to remind people, and Kokyo has told these stories before about himself, but we all know that Kokyo does solo retreats, solo retreats by himself, sending out those beams of light that are not smaller because it's just one, not medium size because it's just seven of us, and it's not a giant beam because Tassajara sits with 70 people. It's just that same beam of Buddha light that Sesshin sends out. Kokyo, also lived for a few years at the No Abode Practice Center right next door to Green Gulch. And he tells that, sometimes there were just two people sitting Sesshin. I mean, it's a small place, No Abode. Probably some people here have been there. It's a small place, so it doesn't hold too many people when it's full to the brim. But sometimes there was just Kokyo and one other person sitting a 3 or a 5 or a 7 day Sesshin, and they would take turns watching the clock and ringing the bell, and they would take turns cooking, but there was always sitting with the two of them. I went to Bloomington, Indiana, 4 times actually over a few year period. I probably haven't been now in 8 years or more even. Maybe this was in the early 2000s. I went there over the course of a few years for 4 of Sesshins with Shohaku Okamura. And one of those Sesshins was just 4, and it's a place about this size. And of course, Shohaku Okamura is known throughout the world, but he sits in a small, his group is small. One of the times I was there was just 4 people plus the cook. A very quiet Sesshin, Shohaku. Their form was those, they call them the no toys Sesshin, meaning no chanting or bowing, no services, no dokusan, just sitting. And 3 times a day the bell rings and you sit and have an oryoki meal with no chanting, just the food served and a few clap, kind of like our evening meal, where we don't chant, we just sort of pick up our spoons and eat when the clappers go. So that was a small one. One time there was just 6 people, and then that included the cook, and there was not even Shohaku. Shohaku got sick, and the show went on without, there's no lectures. It's just sitting. And kinhin between periods. So there's sitting and kinhin, sitting, kinhin, breakfast. And then 5 periods of sitting and kinhin, 50-minute periods. I joke that, sometimes we sit here and we'll be sitting deep in samadhi, and our 40 minutes will go by, and the bell will ring and I'll go, I can't believe that was 40 minutes. But that never happened in a 50-minute period. And we'd do five of them in a row. And then we'd get up and have a meal during the same 50 minutes. So like everything is an hour, 50 minutes plus kinhin, so everything is an hour. Everything starts right on the hour throughout the whole, starting at 4 in the morning, going until 9 at night. So the meal started right at the hour, and it was just usually the meal, because there's no chanting, is quick, is like 30 minutes. And so then the extra 30 minutes to fill up that hour is kind of your break, you can shower in that break, or you can get a little exercise, running around in the, one time I was there, I was in the snow, but I needed to stretch my legs, and of course, I don't see the snow very much, so I even, was able to do a little walking around the property in the neighborhood in the snow. And then one time, it was actually not in the summer, it was sort of late spring, but it was hot and muggy, and like my robes just got drenched. They had an air conditioner, but it wasn't enough to... So Bloomington is a lot different from Santa Cruz, let me tell you. But so small sesshins there. The others were teaching sesshins, where there were a few more people, because he gave two lectures, one in the morning and one in the afternoon, and went over a Dogen fascicle. But I'm just bringing that up because two of them were very small, and I say that as kind of a boost for this group that was larger, and we've kind of had a little dip, but I still feel the need to put on the sunglasses, because the Buddha light is still very strong. Who's to say? I use that documentary of the soccer, the high school soccer team, and the one player that went to the went to junior college, and she didn't feel like she was very good, but one of her brand new teammates was really impressed with the heart that she showed, that inspired the whole team. So who knows what this open-hearted practice is inspiring people to do. It's a mystery, and that's our practice, is practicing with this mystery. We have confidence that, just like Catherine was able to show us, to give confidence to us, we've got confidence that this practice of just sitting here on this side street, off of a main street, off of in this little side street, in this little converted bungalow, that the heart that we manifest in this practice is saving all beings. We don't know how, but we've got that confidence that it's part of saving all beings. This practice almost died out. This Soto Zen practice, our lineage went down to nothing. It didn't go down. Well, how do I say it? It was in China. We chant the Buddhas and ancestors, and we get to Bodhidharma, who was practicing this pointing to the mind school of Buddhism, which is our lineage. He was practicing that. He was Indian and practiced it in India. And he traveled and settled in China. So he's considered the first Chinese ancestor of our just pointing to the mind school of Buddhism in China. And then the great sixth ancestor of China, Daikan Enno, was six generations after Bodhidharma. So that's, and Daikan Enno was Chinese. And then about four generations later, let me count, there's Daikan Enno, then one, two, three, four, five, six generations after the six, so 12 generations after Bodhidharma, six generations after Daikan Enno, was Dongshan, Tozan Ryokai. And he and his student, Saoshan, formed the Soto, Sao of Saoshan and To of Dongshan, Tozan. Soto, of course it was called Chan then, but so they were the namers of our Soto school. And then five generations later, it died out. There was one monk, one transmitted monk carrying the Soto lineage. So that's kind of like the solo retreat, Kokyo's solo retreat. There's only one monk carrying the Soto lineage, and he had, well, I will open. His name was Taiyo Kyogen. It came after Dōwan Kanchi Daiyo Shō, Ryōzan Enkan Daiyo Shō, Taiyo Kyogen Daiyo Shō. He had a few successors, but they didn't have any successors. So maybe he wasn't just sitting by himself. He had a little temple like this, and he had a few successors. But they didn't have any successors. It got down to just one, just him. It was sort of the last one that had successors. One of his successors, one of his later successors, one imagines, came to him late in his life, came to Taiyo Kyogen, but he was already a transmitted teacher from the Rinzai lineage. His name was Fushan Faiyuang, and so he couldn't officially have Soto transition. Who knew? Who makes up these rules? I didn't even know this rule, but it's a rule that if you're already a transmitted teacher, you can't be another one. But he did study with Taiyo Kyogen, And he had his own monastery, and he had some students that were Rinzai students. And he saw that his teacher, Taiyo Kyogen, that all of his successors were died off and didn't have any successors of their own. But this Rinzai teacher, Fushan Ryo, Faiyuan, kind of knew the Soto literature, even though he was officially a Rinzai monk. He knew the literature, and he loved the literature enough that he wanted to see it continue. So he said to one of his students, you know, I want to teach you the Soto or the Sao Dong literature so that you can be the carry on the lineage. So this, and that was to Tosu Gise. Tosu Gise had come to him with a Wayung background, which is the group of which is the school of Buddhism that mainly studied the Avatamsaka Sutra, the flower ornament, the flower garland sutra. So Tosu Gise said, sure, I would love to know the Soto lineage and carry that on. And he did. And he infused it, of course, with his flower ornament background, which we have carried on. And his student, Fuyo Dokai, knowing that it was a little bit shaky, this kind of lineage, you know, in Soto is actually renowned for this warm heart to warm heart transmission. You're supposed to like really know the person that gives you the lineage papers. But what were they to do? So this exception has been made that the papers were carried across by Fushan, who is considered a placeholder, even though he was Rinzai. It's a great story, I think. That's why I'm telling it. And so we all just held our breath and said, yeah, that works. That'll work. Because you know, Tosu Gise, you know, gladly accepted the lineage, the Soto lineage, and passed it on to Fuyo Dokai, who really got into it and said, okay, we're going to make sure that this works out, and had lots of young monks that were able to have their own disciples. So that's what happened. So it's like we're going to be signing up for Sesshin. You know, we do this, let me remind you, 6 times a year. So we're gonna keep sitting and maybe we'll get older and when Yara was 90, she's gonna say, I can't cook anymore. I can't stand up in that kitchen. And her grandchild will say, well, you know, Grandma Yaro taught me how to make tofu scramble. Could I come in, even though I've never been part of Sesshin before? and Yarrow is in her walker and can't cook anymore. You think, would you guys let me cook you the tofu scramble? And we'll go, yeah, I think so. We'll let it happen just this once. And the brilliant golden heart of Yarrow's grandchild will inspire the next generation of Sashin sitters. That's exactly how it's going to work. That's exactly how it's going to work. So we'll let that happen just once. Just this once, just so that this open-hearted Sashin practice of us saying, let's sit for 4 days. Let's sit for 1 day and make sure our hearts can open up. And that who knows who that will inspire. And let me remind, a few of you have heard this. We're using the Vimalakirti Sutra to inspire our sitting this time. And let's remember that chapter one. Yarrow and Sandra will remember chapter one when we did this in the class about a month ago. But the Buddha has gathered an assembly of several thousand to hear a lecture in Vaisali, and one of the monks in Vaisali brings his retinue of 500 monks to hear the Buddha lecture, and they all, you know, because it's like that hot muggy day in Bloomington. A lot of India is hot and muggy, so the monks are all under their umbrellas, their parasols, as they circumambulate the Buddha before the lecture to show how much they revere the Buddha. They circumambulate with their parasols so that they are comfortable. And then they sit down and they fold up the parasols so that the people in the back can see the Buddha. I imagine they fold up their parasols. But the Buddha takes up all the parasols and turns it into this great canopy that surrounds all 32,000 monks that are there and townspeople. This great canopy. Are you loving the story? Is that the 32,000 monks are now they're a little, now they're in the shade. Because it's really hot and muggy. But so that the monks look up, and this is the translation by Robert Thurman. Robert Thurman has done 13 YouTube videos explaining the sutra. But he only gets to like chapter 2. 13, I'll confess. Robert Thurman is a lot like me, really loves himself and loves to tell about the Vimalakirti Sutra. So these 13 videos just take you to chapter 2, but they're wonderful videos. Robert Thurman says that this big canopy that's shading all the monks actually is kind of like a planetarium. Some people look up to see this great canopy, and they see tens of thousands of Buddha fields. They see all of these monks sitting with the Buddha of their Buddha field, the Buddha of their, is also giving a lecture at the same time. They're all simultaneously giving a lecture.
Like a kaleidoscope.
A kaleidoscope. They're just seeing all these beautiful diamond encrusted Buddha fields, and all the monks, just like them on the planet, listening to Shakyamuni Buddha. They're all in other Buddha fields. Many Nikuta, which is like a million light years. There are many Nikuta out there, but you can still see them. Maybe they're waving, but there they are. So there they are. I think I can see them right now. I think I can see those Buddha fields in our planetarium, our kaleidoscope right now, and they're all sitting Buddha's birthday sesshin together with us. It's not just the seven of us, I want to assure you. There are tens of thousands of Buddha fields, and with their Buddha Zen centers all sitting sesshin to celebrate the birth of the Tathagata, to celebrate the birth of the Buddha. So it might feel like we're just seven, but it's many chilicosms, which is another huge number, trichilicosms of Zen students all sitting Buddha's birthday sesshin, and they're looking down, and I think I hear something. I think one of them just asked me if I would give the lecture today, and I'd be honored. Would you mind? I'm going to talk about the Vimalakirti Sutra. Would you mind all listening to that today? It's just like this. It explains exactly what we're doing. So please, Michael and Liz will serve us our lunch right after lecture, and I peeked into the kitchen, and you know what? Yara was originally in this kitchen that was just about 8 feet by 10 feet, but it's now grown. It now holds the whole universe. And there are trichilicosms of rice and soup in there. And we're going to be serving them to all of the Zen students throughout the boundless universe in many Buddha fields. It'll be miraculous. It's inconceivable. I think in Robert Thurman's YouTube video number one, you can type it in, Thurman Vimalakirti, and they'll all pop up. Usually like number four pops up for some reason. And then you go to number four, and then in the box it said, you might also like number one. And it says, of course! Why didn't you start with number one? Of course I'd like number one. Thank you for showing me number four. But that's how it is. It's kind of funny. But so Robert Thurman says, when we look up and we see all these Buddha fields, it shakes us from our usual self-centered idea of where we are and who we are. It is when we're sitting here with our tired knees, we might sit here and say, what is going on here? Why did I sign up for this? I, the center of my life, could be doing much more valuable things. We could take that soup and it would be much better used at the Food Not Bombs just down the hill at 4 o'clock today. And why aren't we doing that? Which is a wonderful thing, which is a wonderful open-hearted, virtuous thought to rise up in Sesshin for all of you. But when we imagine that we're sitting with tens of thousands of Buddha verses in our Buddha's birthday Sesshin, it kind of knocks us out of our self-centered view of the world. Or even that we are the center of the world. That, you know, let's really think that, you know, how can we possibly be the only vessel of consciousness in the entire universe? So that's one of the things that this seeing all those chilly cosms of the Buddha verses show us. The Buddha verse, Thurman says, is not real estate, like 115 School Street. It's not, the Buddha verse is not really a place or an object. It's all of our minds interconnected in this interdependent network of reality. So it's not just us sitting here with great insights from our silent sitting. This is what I've learned. This is what I've understood now about consciousness in sitting. It's our minds are interconnected. We've learned from Robert Thurman and his translation. We're connected with Catherine's mind, who's given the teaching of interconnectedness to all of us, and from Tenshin Anderson's mind and from Suzuki Roshi's mind. Those are just the name ones we can name. You know, our parents' minds are in there. Our great teachers. So this Buddhaverse that we're seeing all over in our planetarium is just this. It's not, we don't own this little Santa Cruz part of the Buddhaverse. We're totally connected to all the Buddhaverses and all the minds. And that this Buddhaverse in chapter 1 is where it's described, is also nothing but living beings. I've written this down after viewing these videos. The Buddhaverse is of living beings, but we have our antenna out. Our antenna is like our heart that opens. When we sit here in silence our heart, and that thought might come up that yeah, this is important to my life. This is important to my practice. I know sitting, and I can't imagine my life without sitting. Our heart is opened, and we suddenly become aware of Sandra sitting next to us, and we suddenly become aware of Gilbert, and we say, my gosh, they must be sitting with the same open-hearted practice. Because I can feel it, because I know that I know what open-heartedness is, because I feel their open-hearted practice. I feel the open heart in this whole room. It's not just my heart that's open. This is what open-heartedness is sitting and practicing and then turning around and holding out our bowls one after another. That's what our interconnected open-hearted practice is. That's our heart is the way we connect with all beings and all chili cosms of Zen students in all the Buddha fields. And we actually experience that. We get up and 4 days later, or at the end of the day when we're putting on our shoes at 9 o'clock at night, we kind of hardly want to leave the property. We just come out and we're all smiles, and we haven't said a word to each other all day long, but we've been abiding in each other's open-heartedness. What Robert Thurman says, are the antennas of our heart have been tuned into each other all day long, and it's hard to imagine for us now that we've got our shoes on that we're going to get in our cars and leave each other. That's what this practice. This is where our practice takes us. This confidence, and it's not that we just. It's not just that we started growing these antenna. Somehow our sitting allows us to tune that dial. You know, that we're already connected, but maybe sometimes when we're not in Sesshin, we're tuned to the me station, the me channel, and somehow when we sit, the waves are already there. We are already nothing but that golden light of Buddha. That's the whole works, and we tune into that in Sesshin. We get a little confidence, and maybe when we start stepping off the porch, we're not sure that it's going to stay with us. But you know, as we get into our cars, we say, "Oh yeah, I'm still tuned into that station." So that's what our Sesshin practice gives us the confidence that we're nothing but that Buddha light. May the merit of our sitting give us the confidence that we are nothing but the Buddha light, and that we're connected here in this room, and we're connected to the Food Not Bombs lunch on Front Street. We're connected to all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who have practiced in this room and in from our founder in San Francisco Zen Center, and to all the dry chili cosms of Zen students throughout the boundless universe. And may we experience this connection endlessly. Beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Delusions are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. Dharma gates are boundless. I vow.